This is the EWN Radio Network.
Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur with your host, Steve Kidd, third-generation minister and business coach. Join Steve and his guests to get answers to your questions and help break through to the next level in your business.
This is Steve. Welcome to Thriving Entrepreneur. So glad to have you here with us today. Today, we want to talk about dialogue, about our connection as people one to another. And we really want to help you to thrive in your life and in your business through having clear and clean dialogue with one another. So often, it's so easy for communication to be confusing to begin with. If you think about it, what do they talk about in marriage? One of the major things that people struggle with is husbands and wives having issues being able to communicate with each other. And that's in person. That's, you know, face-to-face, people that really love each other, that just don't have the ability or haven't figured out yet how to really say what they're feeling, to go deep with each other and have that connection verbally. And of course, if it's that way in deep relationships, very connected people, then obviously that's going to trickle down everywhere else. I mean, every teenager you'll ever meet, in fact, just about every child you'll ever meet has had or feels right now like their parents just don't understand. You know, Will Smith did that book and did that song about that. And we as people have a tendency to feel like people just aren't getting us. People aren't understanding what we're saying. And so dialogue is so important. And then we throw in the element of the internet, social media. Now think about this one for a minute. Have you ever said something and you meant it one way and the person who read your text, your Facebook post, whatever, they took it a completely different way? They were like angry is one of the ones that, you know, of course, we all can think of is you say something and you mean it really deeply from your heart, and because of the person who's reading its experience, because tone inflection and emotion, even with emojis and things like that, can be difficult to express on the internet, there becomes a misunderstanding between you and the person that you're trying to openly communicate with. And it's so easy to do via a text message or any kind of social media post. And so that adds in a whole new element now to our communication, because we need to embrace the power of the technology, but then now we need to learn how to really use it effectively, how to be able to continue to have dialogue, to have communication, to interact one with another, not just on the surface, but heart-to-heart interact with each other, in order to continue moving forward. Technology is just simply another way for us to connect. So think about it. Now you can have a conversation with a person on the whole other side of the world that you're never going to actually physically meet, or maybe, but typically you're never ever going to actually physically meet, and yet you can gain a wealth of knowledge and experience from that person. It expands the size of our village, our tribe, our family unit out to immensely broad. You know, it literally makes the planet the It's a Small World that Disney, you know, had in the song, and makes it so easy and so tight to be close to each other without a whole lot of difficulty or struggle. And that's such a bonus. I remember way back, and, you know, keep in mind that I've been on the internet, well, since before it was the internet, really. And I remember when we were first doing some of those types of typed conversations, I remember thinking, what an amazing privilege the internet can be, because you can, in the course of a couple of days or a week, for sure a month, you can literally interact with probably more people than you would have interacted with in your whole entire life. And better than that, it can be a widely ranging, diverse group of people who, you know, are different from you in every sort of a way that a person can be different. It isn't just a matter of, you know, that person lives on the wrong side of the tracks like it used to be, but that person may have completely different philosophical concepts in their way of thinking than anything you even understand. But you can then have conversation with them and you can begin to create understanding. But it starts from being willing to do that. And it also starts from something that we talk about a lot, but I think all of us in some way or another struggle with, and that's authenticity. We have to be vulnerable and authentic. And you'll find it's really fun working with best-selling authors and you know, having people on the show, because the universal truth is authenticity is scary. And yet it's also that thing that connects us. I'll give you a perfect example. Bad situations happen in people's lives. People get diagnosed with a bad disease, something like cancer or something like that. The immediate human condition, the human response to that is to retreat. It's part of that fight or flight reflex, but it also is just kind of the way we're programmed as people. We go internal. And because of that natural response, what we end up feeling like is we're the only person who's ever gone through this. And we continue having that feeling even when we're going in for treatment. And we could be sitting in a room of a whole bunch of people going through the same treatment, and yet internally our dialogue is that nobody understands, that nobody's been through this horrible thing that I'm going through. And it doesn't have to just be a physical ailment. It can be emotional situations. It can be any aspect of your life. When a trauma happens, that is the typical human response. And what happens is that we isolate and isolate and isolate to the point where we really do begin to have an experience that we are the only one going through it. And then something miraculous can happen if we allow it to. And it comes from that authenticity, that sharing. If we open up that thing that we just know, you know how it is. You can think about it right now. That thing in your life that you know, if you share it, you're just convinced nobody will like you. You'll lose all your friends, all your relatives will look down on you. And of course, obviously, you won't be able to build your business anymore, because who would want to do business with somebody who was struggling with, insert your thing here. And yet the truth of the matter is, that's actually what connects us. When you share that, every single time, I guarantee you, that is when people truly can connect to you. Now, don't get me wrong. There's going to be people, no matter what you do, there's just not such a thing as perfection. And there's not such a thing as people who are just mean-spirited. And so we can't regulate our lives to the worst level of society. But what we can do is embrace the fact that as we communicate, when we're genuinely, authentically open, we can communicate heart to heart. And we can do that face to face, or we can do that across the great distance of the whole entirety of the planet. And as we share our stuff, as we become deeply in tune to you know, our story, and then are willing to be vulnerable and share that, there are other people that are going to be like, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. Remember what I was talking about before? We've gone internal and we feel like we're the only person who has ever experienced this before. And then when we share it, somebody else who is in that same exact boat is now able to say, wait a minute, I'm not the only one who's going through this kind of situation. That's why dialogue, communication will always be paramount, will always be mandatory in our society, because we need each other in order to be able to get along and to really, truly, effectively, impactfully be the best versions of ourselves. We need each other. And so, just like I'm always telling you that the world needs you, you in the world need the other people in the world too. It's a great thing for us to think about. And so we're going to take this whole entire hour to be able to talk about dialogue, communication, talking to people, and really, you know, letting the heart and soul of ourselves out into the world. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
I'm looking for a certain kind of woman, and I think you know her. She's an entrepreneur that is highly connected, successful, significant in her own industry, and considered the go-to woman in her community. She's received so much from so many women in business, she's ready to give back to others on their journey, lifting as she climbs. Hi, this is Sandra Yancey, and I'm the founder and CEO of eWomen Network. I'm looking to connect with the woman I've just described who lives in your community so that we might have a conversation about how eWomen Network's proven success system can provide her a platform to elevate her success and ability to support women in business. Our international community of managing directors are influencing the speed of success for women in business around the world. If that sounds like something that you want to be part of, or know someone we should talk with, send an email to managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. That's managingdirector@ewomennetwork.com. And let's start the conversation.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
Well, I'm really excited. I love it when I get to be able to have international people on the show with me, because it gives us a little different perspective. You know, sometimes we get in a little bubble here in the United States and forget about the rest of the world. So I'm really excited to be able to talk both about politics around the world as well as this amazing new book. So, Wasila, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Yes, hi. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So, you know, for people that aren't familiar with you, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Well, my name is Wasila, Wasila Hashi, and I'm from the Netherlands. I'm a daughter of Moroccan immigrants, so I have an immigrant background. And I have always served in my life in terms of starting out as a military, then as a civil servant, and I've been for 6 years member of parliament, a politician, and I'm now a social entrepreneur. So I've always been serving the public in my country, in the Netherlands, and with the social entrepreneurship, which is Dialogue Digital, I'm serving the world now.
Well, tell us a little bit more about Dialogue Digital.
Yes, well, Dialogue Digital is an initiative that I started like 1.5 years ago. And it popped up as an idea. And it popped up as an idea in a time in which I was already in politics for 3 years, so halfway. And it was a very sad time for me, because I was, on the outside, I did my job as a politician, but I was struggling on the inside, because I saw so many things happening within politics which showed that the real power lies outside the political system. And I mean by that, it's the people outside are the ones who have to create movement for change, come up with ideas, come up with solution, in order to create enough support so a politician can serve and become a servant and run with these ideas and make them happen. And in reality, it's the other way around. People vote for politicians and they wait for change. So while I was in politics, I realized, well, politicians within the system, you can change real things and not even social change unless you have this huge movement outside. So it's like we're waiting for each other. The politician is stuck, and on the other side, the people are stuck because they vote and they think things will change. So this idea popped into me in this, for me, a difficult time because I was struggling within the political system and how things works. And I knew we needed to create the dialogue, of course, within the political system, but mainly outside of the system, because I believe dialogue is the perfect instrument to make bridges between people, to talk about social issues, and to look together towards change, solution, and action. And if you take dialogue on the one hand, and you take the internet as an environment in which you can go cross-border, and people can reach out to each other, we literally live in a small world, well, you get dialogue digital. So the instrument of dialogue and the instrument of internet, put them together, and you can create bridges by building dialogue online, people completely embracing the fundamental principle of listening, thinking, and then speaking for the greater good. Because I believe the best ideas, the best solutions, the best creativity comes from listening, thinking, and then speaking.
Well, and it's good that you brought that up, because literally as we're speaking and recording this, your book, Listen, Think, Speak, has just popped to number one bestseller in two categories here in the U.S. and is on the bestseller list, starting to raise in the ranks all around the world. And it's really exciting on launch day to be able to do it. So tell us a little bit specifically about your book, Listen, Think, Speak.
Yes, Listen, Think, Speak is a short read. So it's basically very easy to read. It doesn't take you days to finish it. It's a short read. And it's my personal story. And this personal story explains not only who I am, but also why dialogue is so important to me. And I also explain how I came up with this idea of dialogue digital. So this personal story, which I tried to capture as a short read, takes you with me on my journey, and I believe a lot of people can recognize themselves in this journey. You know, people have their own experiences, but if you look at the essential things that happen in life, like the search for who am I truly, you're feeling that you need to be accepted, that kind of struggles are very human-like. It doesn't matter if you're a politician or you're a teacher or you're a mother or just a bus driver. We have the same kind of struggles as human beings. So I think my personal story, I hope it's going to be inspiring to others. They recognize themselves in it and they can see how I dealt with all these challenges in my life, but also to understand truly why dialogue is valuable, and we need to learn to understand that and embrace that. And then, of course, if you want to take action and if you want to embrace dialogue, you can join Dialogue Digital. So that's what my book is about.
Mm, love it. So, you know, I know that this last year has been just an amazing journey for you. Talk us through it. I mean, we'll start off at the beginning. You were in Parliament in the Netherlands, and kind of got to the place where you're like, this isn't exactly where I want to serve anymore. Tell us that part of the story. Let's not skip too far ahead on people.
Yes, yes. It was in my, like I said about the feeling of the how I created this idea of Dialogue Digital, I struggled a lot in politics. Not on the outside. On the outside, I've always been, like I was a military and a civil servant, I've always been very dedicated and dutiful. But on the inside, I was struggling to find my true self. And by finding this idea of dialogue digital, I found a new energy source to basically get energy by doing more, basically dialogue digital. It gave me energy to do my job as a politician. And so it started growing. And at the same time, I did a TED Talk about dialogue digital. It was just an idea. And I did a crowdfunding because I wanted to know if this idea was only living and resonating with me, or are there more people who would like to have more dialogue online? So we did a crowdfunding and we succeeded every single step, the TED Talk and the crowdfunding. And it was time to take it to the next level. And it was during the crowdfunding, two things happened. I felt there was not enough support in my own country, in the Netherlands. I had some support because the crowdfunding was successful, but because I was a politician and I had a great network also in terms of media, the support had to be more bigger than it was. So I was a bit disappointed. But one thing that happened was that I used everybody that I knew in my network. I reached out to them. And one of the opportunities that popped up was to go to the United States in 2016 and to learn as much as possible from the Hillary Clinton campaign and to join them and support them. And this possibility resonated deep within me. My mind was like, well, you can't go. They will write about you. They will be negative. You can't leave. You will create trouble. There was a part of me who didn't want to go, but my inner self, I call it, my real self, which was the one who created Dialogue Digital and the crowdfunding and everything, was like, you have to go to the United States. If you succeed there with Dialogue Digital, if you get support there, then even in the Netherlands, everybody's going to support it. So I got this real pull to go to the United States. And it was, of course, also an amazing opportunity, the election, the presidential election, and the Hillary Clinton campaign. So I decided, I was thinking about it to leave. And I was battling with myself from the inside. And something extraordinary needed to happen. Do you want me to share the whole story right now?
Yes, absolutely.
I'll continue. So when I was at the point that I was having this huge struggle, should I go? There was a part of me who wanted to go. There was a part of me with a lot of questions. And I normally always go for a run, for jogging, because it empties my head and releases my stress and I get creative ideas. So I needed it definitely in the political life. But this morning, it was January 2016, the seventh day after my birthday. And I woke up that morning and I went again for my run. But it was the first time in my life that I was running with a lot of questions. Because I was struggling, I wanted to go to the United States, but I was afraid. I'm a public figure. What will happen if I go? And if I don't get approval. So I was running, and I always run for 45 minutes. And in this case, I was running for like 45 minutes, almost the end of my run. And I get into a flow, a meditation flow. I always get that when I run. That's how I release stress. So while I was running nonstop, I was questioning and I believe in God. It depends on if you believe in the universe or higher power or source. It doesn't matter to me. It's all the same. But I was running and I was for the first time running and questioning and asking God, because when I got in the meditative flow, I really felt like maybe he can hear me now. You know, I need your help. I don't know what to do. And I want to go, but there's so much worry. And in this flow for 45 minutes with these questions, it was all of a sudden that I saw something from a distance. And I get even emotional if I think about that moment, what happened, because I was running and I felt like there is something coming. And I looked from a distance and I saw something running towards me. And while I was slowing down, because if you see something coming out full speed from a distance, I was like, what is it? Is it a dog? What kind of animal is it? And then I heard voices shouting very loud from the other end of the path. This was in a forest park. And there were owners who were shouting. They were saying, like, come over here, come over here, get here, come back. And I noticed it because it came from a long distance. So I had time to think. And I noticed it was a dog. And I was thinking, should I run? Should I stop? Does he want to come and play? But as soon as he approached me closer, I knew this wasn't a dog that came to play. It was a Belgian Shepherd. And when he came full fire to attack me. That's what happened. And what happened within me in these seconds, but it felt like minutes because I had time while he was running, I felt like a huge shift within me. Because it was literally like you blow all the questions out of my mind. They were gone. And something raised, I hope it's the right word, I'm Dutch, my English is not perfect. Something raised from deep within me. And now I realize it's also something that every human being has. It's basically your survival instinct. So I felt like a force within me coming up, which was focused on one thing, fighting this dog. And it was during this fight that I realized that my calling, what I wanted to do, who I truly am, was worth fighting for. So even though I got scratches on my body and I have even a big bite on my arm, what I got back from this fight was much bigger. It was my willingness to fight. And that was the final push that I needed because I got my answers. I needed to stand up and give notice.
That's amazing. I love it how those unexpected incidences in our life really can, shape us and help us know this is what I do need to do.
It's important to allow our destiny to really come through and be fulfilled, and then to share our unique brilliance with the world. We each of us have a purpose that we're meant to fulfill here on this earth. And the world is not as good of a place if we're not holding down our particular assignment, if you will, in the world. And so I just love it when those times really do shake out that truth, that need for our voice, for us to really be fully present in the world. Like I always say, the world really does need you, and you need to share all that you are with the world so that you can help make the world as great of a place as it can possibly be. So I really do encourage you to continue listening and figure out how you can communicate your truth with the world and help make the world a better place. We're going to take another quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back here on Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called Accelerated Networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelp.com. youthrive.com. Check us out and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I'm here with Wasilla Hachi, and we are talking about the power of dialogue, about communication, how our destiny really truly is out there wanting to be fulfilled, and we need to communicate that with the world, as well as being people who are, you know, good listeners, who are in dialogue with one another and really truly embracing our greatness, but also open to the wonderful, unique brilliance of other people around us. I love that story that Wasilla just told about finding her voice, her purpose through the hard events in life, and a lot of us have them, and it's so important that we embrace our opportunity to be the best version of ourselves, because in the end, remember, the world needs you.
So yes. You came to the United States and started working with the Hillary Clinton campaign. I know a lot of us are curious, from an insider standpoint, what was that like? I mean, this last election was just so insane that there's got to be some interesting stories.
Yes. It was amazing because I've been helping out in several states. And in January, so I got from starting point on the primary season. And for me, it was important because I came from the Netherlands and I know politics in the Netherlands and I know politics has some universal characteristics. But to know more about the United States politics, it's not only good to know it on the top level, but also on the ground and to get to know the United States. I've visited before I came this year, the United States several times, I think like 8 times or, but always as a visitor, as a tourist. So during this year, I was able to travel with the campaign every primary state and help out with people on the ground and meeting people and even having discussion with people. And not only people who supported Hillary or even hated Hillary because it was a really fired up election, or people who hated Trump and or supported Trump, or people who wanted Bernie. I got a chance to understand the differences in the United States in terms of states and to get to know the people and the country, but also the political race and what people were feeling on the ground. And it was, for me, very, very valuable because I saw from up close the frustration. But let me put it this way, maybe more positively, because it's actually the call for change. And we know that the thing that President Obama had was change, but this felt for me like another kind of change. People were literally fed up. And fed up with how the political system works, how even the media, it was like people are more awake and more aware and they wanted something different. And they were tired after all this decennia of how the system, the political system works. And this frustration, and I don't think it has to do with any of the candidates in the end, although the candidates represented something. In Hillary's case, she represented the system and the establishment because she was part of it for so many years. It's not about her as a person, but it's about what she represented for the people in terms of, yeah, nothing's going to change. And Trump, on the other hand, I don't believe he's the solution, but that's my personal opinion. But he stood for the frustration, and we rather have something completely different than continue on this path. So I saw from up close the discussion that was happening in the primary season between Hillary and Bernie. And Bernie got this fire behind him because he also represents for something completely different. Different. And then you had Trump with something completely different. So although looking at the election day when the results came finally, and I was in Nevada at Hillary's headquarters with a lot of staffers that I got to know very well since this year. And we were watching and there was, of course, disappointment, but there was a part of me they didn't want Trump to win. I wanted Hillary to win. But there was a part of me that understood why Trump won. And that's one of the most valuable things that I gained from this election, because it was a very divisive, how do you call it? Separating election race, very personal. You Americans are very personal in your campaigns. But I got an insight because I was on the ground with people in several states and get to understand that we are living in an era. And I think it's not only for the United States, it's basically in every country, in which people are not only saying they want change, they are demanding change. And for me, if I can make the bridge to Dialogue Digital, the element that I'm hoping people are going to understand more and more is, yes, you can demand change, but it starts with you. Mm. We have to change. So the politicians and the political system is going to change. It's not the other way around. What we're now doing is waiting for change from the political system and politicians, and we like to blame them for everything, but they are servants. So we have to have our power for change organized with support, with movement, and starting with dialogue, because we have to start real connecting with each other and sharing ideas about social issues before we can get to the phase of solutions. But that's what you have to have. We have to take responsibility ourselves. We are the leaders. So we can give our politicians the task to be a true servant.
And I really love that, you know, because, and maybe it's one of the reasons why I really love your book, is because if we could really adopt the concept of truly listening, you know, that's why I love it, you know, and then thinking about what we heard as opposed to just, you know, blow it up because we didn't like what they said.
Yes. Yes. You know, Steve, that's totally true. And what I learned in my time here in the States and also this election race, I learned also more about how to capture the elements of dialogue. And especially if you want to take it to the level of online, digital, what it takes. And that's why in my book, I'm talking about the five pillars, which pillars that are crucial and fundamental for establishing a dialogue.
And one share of, those with us then.
Yeah. Well, one of, let me start with the five pillars, because the first thing is you have to understand what a dialogue is about. A lot of people think dialogue is a conversation or a debate or a discussion. That's not a dialogue. A dialogue is being aware that a dialogue starts with intention. You have to have the intention to be genuinely open to another person. You have to have that intention before you even start a dialogue. And you also have to be aware that there are a lot of different perspectives and that we all have perceptions. So no matter what your perception is, you have to realize and be aware that it's not the truth. So this understanding of what a dialogue is and that it starts with intention and then embracing it is the first pillar. The second pillar is you have to create and protect a safe space so a dialogue can occur. What do I mean by a safe space? Three elements. Agree that you don't judge. The second thing is there are no repercussions when we're having our dialogue, which means nothing can be held against you in any kind of way in future. The third element is show unconditional love, embrace unconditional love. And that means basically one thing, you are aware that we are all human beings and that we are all connected. So we are all the same basically in our core. So these three elements are crucial so you can create a safe space and people can genuinely be themselves and feel safe enough to engage in a dialogue. The third pillar is what you already mentioned, Steve, listening. And I call it, you have to master the skill of listening. Because most of the time, we are only shutting our mouth up in terms of, we're only silent to wait till we get the chance to speak. While listening is basically not thinking about you have to speak. You are actually focused on what the other person is saying, and you try to find the elements in what the person is saying that you can learn from or that you can use. So, and you shouldn't have the aim to talk. That's very crucial that you learn to master listening, because otherwise you can't have a true dialogue. So that's why it's the third pillar. The fourth pillar is bring the fullness of yourself to the dialogue and encourage others to do the same. And with that, I mean, you have to be truly yourself. So if you're going to engage in a dialogue and you're hiding or you're playing, you're wearing a mask in terms of your character, what you truly believe and think, then you better don't have a dialogue. So you have to be willing to be true in who you are, what you think, and your opinions. So not afraid to share. And also discovering yourself, who you are, because it's not only fear, it's also knowing yourself. That's the more people are aware of themselves and bring the fullness of themselves into a dialogue, the more effective a dialogue is. Because in the end, that's what you want. You want a dialogue to lead to something, to solution, to action. And that can only happen if you have this fourth pillar also included. And then the final one, the fifth pillar, that's being resilient. And for me, like I just shared with you the story with the dog, that was my strongest experience that I had in terms of being willing to stand for what I believe and who I truly am. So being resilient means accept yourself. You don't need acceptance from others, and being aware of that and living in that truth and embracing who you really are and being willing to stand for what you believe in no matter what happens outside of you. Because there will always be people or things happening who will distract you or will try to change your mind or make you fearful. But you have to be willing to be resilient and stand on your ground. So that, those are the five pillars that create a true dialogue, which can create to the change, in this case, social change that we so desperately need.
Well, and people need to get the book so that they can really, truly understand all five of those pillars. And then we can really begin to start creating dialogues. I really want you to think for a minute. Think about the most surprising conversation you've had to this point in your life. Doesn't matter how old you are or what your experience is, unless you have literally lived in a cave your whole entire life, and this is the very first time you're hearing anybody else's voice. No, seriously. We've had those conversations that have shocked us, that have jarred our perspective in big ways and small. I want you to think for a minute. Think about a conversation that you've had that has changed your way of thinking. A lot of us have had conversations where all it's done is cemented our way of thinking, and that's good. And we all have fallen into the trap of defending what we believe rather than listening and hearing other people's perspective. But think of that time when you got new information and it changed the way that you showed up in the world. How impactful was that in your life? Not only do we all strive to be that kind of person in the world, but we also need to have those communications with other people so that we can continue growing, learning, and being the best version of ourselves that we can be. So here comes another quick commercial break, and then we'll be right back on Thriving Entrepreneur. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.
Welcome back to Thriving Entrepreneur.
This is Steve. Welcome back. I'm here with Wasila Hachi, and we are talking about her book, Listen, Think, Speak. And we're talking about the power of dialogue, especially in our new digital world. There are so many opportunities for us to connect with other people, and we really do need to embrace our ability to be able to connect with people all over the world, and how we can then enter into not just conversations, not just little quips back and forth, but actually truly come to the place of dialogue through this digital media that is the internet.
It would be awesome to see the internet, I would say, really revolve back more to where it was when it first started. Was a really great place of sharing and connecting for those of us that have been around since 1994 when it first started.
Yeah.
We have a little different perspective than today, but
yeah.
But I really love that whole concept of dialogue.
Yeah, I know. I understand what you mean, but we have to keep going forward. And
yes.
I think we didn't make some progress. If we look back with the social media, we have the instrument. So the internet is nothing but an instrument. So you can use it for the good or you can use it for the bad. So it's basically a mirror. If we are complaining about the internet, like saying it's being hijacked by the culture of hate, it means that we as humans are not using it for another purpose, for the good. So we are in charge. So if you look at the internet and the use of the internet, it definitely progressed in terms of facilities and instruments and the social media. But we as humans have to go back and use the instrument in a way that it serves us. And that's what I... with Dialogue Digital, what we are working on. And we start very simple. We start as a Dialogue Digital Facebook group by using Facebook that's already there. And we see that as a small living room to start practicing what I just shared about dialogue, the five pillars, practicing dialogue by using Facebook Live. So vialogues, we call them video, dialogue in video. You can use Facebook Live in our Facebook group and practice dialogue, because why I like video, it gives you all elements as close as it can be as if you meet somebody in real life right in front of you. Because in a dialogue, you take all these five pillars that I just share, come to fruition, or how do you call it, to they blossom when you can look each other in the eye, when you can read nonverbal communication. So video is a very amazing tool that we have now online. And we're using in the Facebook group, Facebook Live, to dialogue with each other. So this Facebook group is a small living room, and I hope we're going to grow out of this living room because the group is going to be so big. We're going to use to build our first core community. And this core community can also decide with us, and us as the team of Dialogue Digital, my team, decide with us how we're going to build our, I call it, public villa. Because you can see the Facebook group as a small studio apartment and it's a living room. And together with the core community, we're going to decide how our platform, our public villa, is going to look like. So it's the website, the official platform for Dialogue Digital. We started working on it, but it's not ready yet because we want to involve people from the core community to decide with us how it's going to look like. So the Dialogue Digital Facebook group is now online. We have a Dutch one and an English one, international one. And today with the announcement, people are already coming into the group and we have a few dialogues going on. So I'm inviting everybody to join us. Don't be afraid. Come in. And you can always leave the Facebook group, but come in and we have an introduction video about the safe space agreement so everybody knows how it works. And let's practice together and let's engage together And we have four topics so everybody can get inspired what to talk about. We have four topics, Steve, and those are, the first one is progressive politics, so paving the path forward after this election. The second topic is female quality, so it's not a man's world. And the third topic is, let me think, I have to revoke the third topic. I forgot about the thought. Well, we have the fourth topic, so I have to check while I speak the third topic. But the fourth topic that we have, you can talk about in the Facebook group, is less ego, more you. So basically, living in a more ego-driven world. Let me check, Steve. I have to tell you the third topic too, so everybody knows what kind of topics they can come and talk about. And of course, we can adjust more topics in future, but we want to start with four clear topics so everybody comes in and doesn't have this feeling like, okay, what should I talk about? So you can start and join right away. It's race equality. That's the third topic. So it's basically about racism and discrimination, which I think is also a topic that's very lively in not only in the United States, but across the world. So once again, it's an invitation to everybody, join Dialogue Digital Facebook group. And you can enter and you can find all information on our website, listenthinkspeak.online. Everything starts there. You can get into the Facebook group by going to this website, listenthinkspeak.online.
Listen, think, speak online.
And dot you, online.
Dot online, yeah. And you, of course, want to get the book, Listen, Think, Speak. It's available on Amazon. Wasila, I really appreciate you taking the time with us today. I love the concept of Dialogue Digital, and I'm really looking forward to the impact that it's going to make in the world.
Thank you for having me, Steve, and I really enjoyed sharing my story with you.
It really is an amazing book, and you really do truly need to get Listen, Think, Speak by Wasila Hachi. I love her openness to talk about and help drive better dialogue, better communication in the world. It's like I always say, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I do really love how Kathy and I get to bring amazing people like Wasila into the forefront of other people in the world. And I don't want to say into the world because, you know, obviously they're amazing life changers in their own right from what they're doing. But I love it when I can introduce to you somebody that maybe you haven't met before and to help bring to your understanding a new piece of information, and especially to share in that journey of them putting that message out there and becoming a best-selling author. You see, here's the thing that we all know, but yet we seem to not want to embrace, and that's the fact that there is something inside of us. It's part of the human condition to want to share. It used to be, if you think about, and we've all at least seen it on TV or in a movie or something, that we as a culture would sit around a fire at night and we would tell our stories. And some of them were made up stories. Some of them were legends, fairy tales, imaginations, and that was okay too. Some of them were histories. Again, falsified histories, real histories. It's how we used to carry the real, depth, the culture of ourselves as people down through the ages is through those campfire stories, sitting around and sharing. And through that, people knew how their ancestors had shown up in the world. And we really still live in that same type of a world. We just have a little better method to be able to share those stories. We have the internet, which gives us the ability to communicate one with another. And then we also have books, and we have digital books, so you can take them anywhere you want to go, anywhere you need to go. on a plane or in a trip or even sitting in a waiting room, you can bring up a digital device and, and read a couple of paragraphs of a book or short reads. And that's why they're so impactful, is because, have you ever been in the waiting room and just sat there and waited for like a doctor's appointment, or worse yet, if a spouse or a child or something is in the room and you're just sitting there out in the waiting room waiting, or in school line, picking up the kids from school, those times that we just sit around and wait. Short reads are the kind of books that you can literally read during that downtime rather than sitting there. And hopefully you're not just sitting around, you have things to do with your time, but you can pick up a book and in the course of 15 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, you can learn a new skill. You can take a subject, get it really clearly, and have an action that you can take. And so it's really good for us as people. And conversely, it's really good for you to share your unique brilliance. There's always going to be somebody that's 5, 10, 20 steps ahead of us, but there's always somebody that's 5, 10, 20 steps behind us that needs you to share your stuff, your story, your message with them to help them get through what they're going through now so that they can then be at the level that you're at. Different people are going to need different perspectives. You could tell the same exact concept to a person from your perspective, and it's going to come across completely different. Two people sitting in a room next to each other that are both accountants can share their love of accounting and something that they've found through helping people get their numbers straight. And those are going to come out completely different. The one person may be really helping a person know what are good investments, whereas another person is helping people understand better what's a good way to save your money. A third person is going to come in and go, here's some really good ways for you to spend your money. And each one of those stories is needed, impactful, and useful. And even though all those people are in the same basic industry, they have a unique perspective, and so do you. And the world needs you to share your unique message with the world so that we can all dialogue together and we can all live in a better, more meaningful, more impactful world. Don't you want to be part of that? I know I do. We invite you to come join us at bestsellersguild.com. It's a free Facebook group, and together we all share with one another our stuff, our stories, and help make everybody, not just authors, but best-selling authors. We like to say we don't write books, we help write bestsellers, and we want you to be our next one. So come and join Kathy and I over at bestsellersguild.com. In the meantime, please remember how important your voice is. And get into meaningful, impactful dialogues with people today, because you are uniquely brilliant. You were created for a purpose, and the world truly needs you. Remember that Kathy and I are here to help you live every day of your life as a thriving entrepreneur. Until next time, have a great week.
Thanks for listening to Thriving Entrepreneur today. If you want to get your question answered, send an email to questions@wehelpyouthrive.com. We look forward to you joining us again next time.
You've heard Kathy and I talk about it. You've seen the workshops. You have watched as others of your friends have become a best-selling author. And now it's your turn. Let me ask you this. What would being a best-selling author do for your business? Over 80% of people surveyed said that they want to write a book, which means that if you're listening, you probably are one of those people. Now is your time, because you have a message that needs to be shared. That message is not for you. It's not for your ego. It is because it serves other people. Kathy and I are here to help you share your unique brilliance with the world. All you need to do is go to wehelpyouthrive.com, check us out, and find out how you can be a best-selling author today.